Praise God. Well, tonight we're going to talk about you. You know, I know it's not nice to talk about people, but you know, really, if anybody reads the word, they have to talk about you. Because you is the subject of the word. The Bible's all about you. It's all about how much God loves you, how much Christ loves you, what Christ did for you, what you have because of Christ, how you receive it. It's all about you. So I'm going to look at one scripture that talks a lot about you. Is Mark 11:24. As most of you know, that's one of our keynote scriptures, and this is the scripture that got my grandfather off the deathbed. But this scripture says a lot about you. In fact, it talks about you a lot. We're going to read from the New King James Version, first of all. It says this, "Therefore I say to you," so Jesus is talking to you. That's who the I is. All right, "I say to you that whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." There's a number of yous there. All about you. All right. Now, I want to go back and I want to go old school. I want to read the King James Version. Okay. Now, in the King James, obviously, it says ye instead of you, but I'm gonna change it to you. Okay. So to fit my message. "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Now, I like the King James because they use the word desire. Now, what do you desire? Because you need to figure out what you desire before you even start praying. Now, when my grandfather got a hold of this scripture, he actually told the Lord, he says, you know, "I desire a well body more than anything else in this whole entire world." And he said, "Jesus, if you were standing here right in front of me, and you told me that I didn't desire a well body, I would have to call you a liar. Because that's what my desire is. I desire a well body." But what do you desire? What do you want? Now, this time of year, we have a thing what we call March Madness. Anybody watch March Madness? Been watching the, you know. Now, I'm mad that Duke didn't get beat the other night. And it's not that I don't like him. It's just, you know, it's always good to see an underdog win. Plus, almost everybody in my little bracket area, they all pick Duke to win. So if Duke loses, I go way up to the top. So, you know, that would benefit me. And of course, it is about me, right? So anyway, that thing called March Madness. And, you know, a lot of times after a game that the team that wasn't supposed to win wins. And then the commentator will say, well, they desired it more, they wanted it more. You know, when you desire something, you go after it. You do whatever it takes to get a hold of something that you want. No, but for years, I've heard people tell a lie when it comes to theology. They say, well, you know what? You can't believe for things that you want. You only can believe for things that you need. Well, that's a lie. What do you desire? You know, a lot of times we crush people's desires because we tell them that they can't believe for what they want. Now, let me stop right here and say this, because my grandfather always would say this, so I want to make sure you understand this. Now, if something that you desire, also contains somebody else's will, you cannot pray for it. Like, you know what? If you really want to marry somebody and they hate your guts, you can't pray that your desire gets met. Because for your desire to be met, their desire would not be met as well. But as long as no one else is involved, you have a right to pray for it. You have a right to ask. In fact, let's go back to the Old Testament. Back to Psalms 37, 4 and 5. We'll read from the New King James. Says this, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." It says that God will give you desires of your heart. What do you desire, though? I mean, he can't give you what you don't ask for. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, what God knows. I mean, you know, it's one of those secret prayers. You know, remember, you know, some of you maybe grew up in one of those old-timey churches. My other grandfather, my mom's dad, he was an Assembly of God pastor for many, many, many years. And it seemed like every Sunday night, you know, they would take prayer requests, and, you know, people would lift their hand and say their prayer requests, and then someone would lift their hand and says, you know, that I have an unnamed prayer request. And then they'd ask, well, how many of you have unnamed prayer requests? About 20 more people lift their hand. And so, you know, so we prayed for the unnamed. Kind of, I'm like, why can't you just name your prayer requests? What do you really want? Sometimes that's how we are with God. Well, you know what? We know what we want, but we just want, God, I have an unnamed prayer request. But Mark 11, 24 says, what do you want? What are you asking for? What do you desire? It's not about, well, just tell me the unnamed prayer request. Anyway, it goes on to say, delight yourself also in the Lord. He will give you desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Now, notice a lot of people forget this. It says, trust also in him, and he was going to bring it to pass. You ask for it, but he brings it to pass. Why? Because you believe. Now, I have found something out too. If you really desire something, you're going to keep on it. You're going to keep it in front of you. You're going to, you know, you're going to ask many times. I mean, you're going to talk about it. But what do you desire? What do you want? I mean, sometimes maybe you need to sit around and think about what are some things in your life that you desire. Because you can have whatever you desire. If you desire, if you really want it. But what do you desire? What are you asking? Are you praying? Now notice in this verse, back to Mark 11, 24, the pastor is not mentioned anywhere. I don't see anything about the pastor. We'll go back to the King James. You know, because this is how most people actually read the verse. It says this. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when your pastor prays, believe that you're going to receive them and you shall have them. But the pastor, he's not even in here. It's nothing about the pastor, nothing about anybody else praying. It's only about you. And I found out, you know what? If it's something that you want or you desire, it's more important to you than it is anybody else. And I'm not saying, you know, I understand, you know, we have scriptures about two or more gathered together and touching anything. And it's okay to have the pastor praying. But I have found out a lot of times when it comes to people needing things, they call every prayer group known to man, or now you don't have to call them, you just email them or whatever. And everybody's praying for your need except for you. And that's how a lot of Christians do it. Well, you know, I want them to pray because they're more spiritual than me. You know, I didn't read anywhere it says, if you're more spiritual. It doesn't say, well, if you're spiritual enough. It actually starts and says, what do you desire? Doesn't say, you know, there's nothing about giving offerings here. Nothing wrong with giving offerings. Doesn't even say you have to give extra. Because I've heard some pastors preach, man, if you give God your best, he'll give you back his best. Yes, yes, yeah. All right, well, yeah, that's true, but what you desire, pray for it. Believe God for it. Because really, it's about you. It's not about me. But you know, the Bible's about you, but not really about you, because it's about what Christ did for you. The only reason you get the good stuff is because of Jesus Christ and because of God and his love. It was God's love that provided Jesus to come be a sacrifice for you so you could receive. But the Bible is all about you doing it. What, you know, I don't know how many times. I mean, if you ask my grandfather a lot of things, he wouldn't say, what does the Bible say about it? Because you know what? It doesn't matter what pastor so-and-so says about it, or brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, or prophet so-and-so, or non-prophet so-and-so. Because in order to be legal, it has to be a non-profit organization. Can't have any prophets in the organization. So anybody that says, calls himself a prophet, and you know, is probably illegal according to the United States government. But I mean, non-profit. Anyway, that's kind of a joke. You know, and I have this theory. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but I think it's right. Anybody that calls themselves a prophet on Facebook is probably not a prophet. You know, isn't there something like the pride cometh before a fall and all that kind of stuff, you know? So anyway, whatever. I do have friends on Facebook that call themselves prophets, and I don't make fun of them. What's up? I just did. At least I don't make fun of them on their page. I'll let them be themselves. Whatever, but you know, hopefully they don't have a nonprofit organization, because then they would be lying calling themselves a prophet and have a nonprofit organization. But the person that should be interested in you is you. Now, you know, a lot of people, you know, think about this, and most people realize that this is one of our keynote verses of our ministry, because this was the verse that my grandfather read, and he walked off the deathbed because of this verse. Because, see, after he told the Lord, "I desire a well body more than anything else in the world," the Lord began to speak to him, and he's, you know, never spoke to him before, but spoke to him and says, "Well, what do well people do at 10 o'clock in the morning?" He says, "Well, they get up." So Jesus said, "Get up." And he did. Now, you know, and many people think about this, you know, they think about, you know, what the person they call Brother Hagin, and a lot of people have their own imaginary Brother Hagin, you know, the Brother Hagin of the 80s, you know, when he was like 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or whatever he was. But Brother Hagin at 16 was a whole lot different than Brother Hagin, you know, at 80. You know, whenever my grandfather got a hold of the scripture, he didn't know anything. Never heard a faith message. But he was able to read in his Bible that if he desired something and he prayed for something, that he could have whatever he said, because he said it and because God says he can say it. Yes. And it changed, not only did it change him, it also changed you. Because he went on to, according to Wikipedia, to become the father of the modern day faith movement. Because one man read the Bible at 16. Think of more people read the Bible even younger than 16, how much they can change the world. But not that he just read the Bible. He didn't need anyone to explain the Bible to him. Because he knew that he was the you in the Bible. He understood that it was whatever he desired when he prayed, that he can believe that he can have whatever he says when he prays. But what do you do when you pray? You're thinking, I mean, most of you, you know, instead of really believing, you're kind of hoping and praying. And, you know, you don't mean to be hoping and praying, but that's how you act. To 3 days later, you're like, "Man, I guess I didn't get anything." Well, you know, see, desire goes longer than 3 days. If you really desire it, you go longer. I mean, if you're only willing to fight for 3 days, you know, I like what the Word of God says. You know, it says, talk about putting on the whole armor of God. It says, having done all to stand, it says we stand. Doesn't say we retreat. Doesn't say we move forward. We keep standing on the Word. Then if for some of you old school people, you start singing "Standing on the Promises of God." Just keep standing. Because you understand that you're coming in laws, you know, you're coming in line with God's laws. Yes. And there's something that you desire. Yes. There's something that you prayed for. There's something that you believed. And so, you know what? The desire should be the same the day after you pray as the day you pray. Now, what happens is that, you know, we hear testimonies, in, such as my grandfather's, that he got a hold of the scripture, and in one day, he began to walk. Now, what we don't hear is how tough it was to keep walking. The devil came at him many times and says, you shouldn't be doing this. In fact, he even said whenever he went back to school, the teacher said, you know, maybe you need to go back home. He had marvelous opportunities, he used to say, to lose his healing, to get back in that bed. Because he didn't look like he was well. But it wasn't about what he looked like. It wasn't about what he felt like. It wasn't about anything. It was about him doing what he needed to do and desiring that outcome. And, you know, I say it many times. You know, if you're in a situation where you have a terminal disease and, you know, the doctors have said they can't do anything for you, then you have basically two choices. Believe God or die. I mean, I'm just being flat out honest. Because the doctor says they can't do anything else for you. Now, at that point in time, you know, you see a lot of times people's desires kick in. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes people say, well, I had a good life. You know, and I never, I mean, you know, heaven's supposed to be a good place. You know, it's not a bad second choice, but, you know, I'd rather be here for a while. Now, I have found out that if you're trusting God for a financial thing, you know, let's say that you really want to go on a mission trip, and let's say it's $2,500. Do you realize if that $2,500 does not come in, it's not the end of the world for you? Maybe you miss out on seeing the monkeys and all that kind of stuff, you know, in the middle of Africa. I'm not talking about the people you're preaching to. I'm talking about actually monkeys in the trees and stuff, you know, but, or you miss out on, you know, being able to minister and, you know, and I think everyone should go on a missions trip. I think it's awesome. It's an awesome experience. But the point is, you know what? You're going to make it. In fact, let's say that your home is being foreclosed on. Do you realize if they take your home, you're still going to live? Yeah. Now, you might not live in a nice of a home or nice of a place, but you're going to make it. Amen. And because you're going to make it, sometimes you lose your desire to push forward. But never lose your desire. Think about what do you desire? And I think that's what a lot of times we don't really desire something whenever we pray for it. Maybe we want it. Maybe we would like to have it. But do you really? Because if you desire something, you're going to do anything you can to get it. I mean, you're going to do everything. You know, if I desire something, I'm going to do everything naturally and spiritually to get whatever I desire. You know, and if it's a financial thing, you know, and I have opportunities to make extra money, I'm going to go try to make extra money. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Because that's desire. You know, wanting something is one thing. And, you know, and I understand, man, it would be nice to have this. It would be nice to have that. But what do you desire? Is it a big deal? Because it needs to be a big deal. If you get to a place whenever you're going to pray for and ask for it, it should be a big deal for you. And it should be a big deal for you even whenever you face obstacles coming your way. All right? Because you're going to face them. You're going to have the devil tell you you can't get it. You're going to have people tell you you can't get it. You're going to have your roommates telling you can't get it. You know, but all of them are liars. Yeah, I know, I don't want to call your roommate a liar or whatever, but they're not lining up with God's word, because God's word says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. It says the things that are impossible to men are possible with God. All right? I mean, this scripture right here says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. See, that's a big thing. Do you believe it or not? Do you really believe it? You know, because a lot of people would like to have it, but they don't believe it. Or a lot of them are like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But that's not faith. Faith is having it when you don't see it. Faith is an unquestioning belief according to Webster's New World Dictionary. If, you know, you have to believe. I mean, as soon as you say that prayer, you believe that you have it. Yeah, but I don't see it. I don't care what you see. I don't feel like it. I don't care how you feel. It doesn't look like it. I don't care what it looks like. Is your faith in what you feel, what you see, and what it smells like, what it looks like, or is your faith in God? Because God doesn't care what you feel like. I mean, he does care because he wants you to feel good. But it doesn't matter. You know, your faith is not dependent on what you feel like. It's what you desire. But you know what? Not only do you have to desire it, you got to ask for it. Ask for it. The Bible says, ask what you will and it shall be done. It says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. You know, we have not because we ask not. You know, but guess who has to ask? You. You have to ask. It's about you doing something. Now, I'm going to say this. Now, we have healing lines around here a lot. But guess who's getting healed? You are. But see, you should come down asking because it's about you. It's about you. And a lot of times, see, people come down expecting the minister to do something, and they get exactly what they expect. Nothing. Because the minister can't do anything. It's you and your faith that unlocks the door. Just like when the woman with the issue of blood came down, she said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. What do you believe? What are you asking for? What do you desire? Because those are important things in your life. And you understand, what you desire doesn't have to be financial, doesn't even have to be physical. It can be emotional, it can be, you know, whatever. You know, because God wants you whole, your whole man whole. Financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and whatever other kind of thing you need. Because you realize that whatever you need, Jesus Christ bought it for you on Calvary. Whatever you need, whatever it is. You know, maybe it's peace. It's interesting how many people, how many Christians are not very peaceful. They're always, you know, on the edge. You know, and Jesus, one of his names was the Prince of Peace. And he told his disciples whenever he left, peace I leave you. Not the world's peace, but my peace that nobody can take away from you. You know, that's why we read in Philippians about the peace that passes all understanding. But you have to pray and you have to ask for that peace. See, if you're not doing anything, you're not getting anything. And you're getting mad about it and blaming God for it. But it's your fault. Do you realize that if my grandfather wouldn't have actually taken any action, that he would have been dead? I wouldn't have been here. Maybe many of you wouldn't have been here. You know, I wouldn't have been here because of my genetics. You might have not been here because you never got a hold of that message. You know, or never got a hold of that book. You know, because one man acted upon the word. And he did his part. Man, it's not that hard. All you have to do is do what God says to do. Because remember, this is Jesus Christ talking. This is red letter stuff. This isn't anybody else. You know, and obviously, you know, we get blessed by many writers of the Bible, but this is Jesus Christ himself. Remember Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, that same Jesus? So which, if Jesus is really the same, these red letters are the same thing that he would say to you if he was standing right here in front of you. He would look at you and say, "Verily I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." And drop the mic. Because that's all you have to say. I mean, he said, you know what? If you don't like where you're living, if you don't like what you're going through, if you don't like, you know, what's going on in your life, then you need to do something about it. Decide that you're going to desire your life to change. And when you decide that you're going to desire your life to change, then you do something about it by asking, by believing, and then by having. Now, what's interesting part about it is that this scripture, Mark 11:24, says that you have it whenever you pray. Because, let's read it. It says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It tells you exactly that you have them whenever you pray. Yeah, but I don't feel like I have them because I don't feel different. No, you have them by faith. Faith, remember the unquestioning belief. Now faith is. See, when faith comes in, it's now. You believe you have it. Why do I have it? Because, first of all, your faith is in God. Secondly, you desired it. You asked. You believed. And you had it. He's like, but I understand people are going to say, well, you don't look any different. In fact, you look worse today than you did yesterday. I always love that one. Well, you know what? The Bible says that man looks on outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. If you look at my heart, you'll see something different. You might not see anything on the outside, because outside I might look just like I looked a few minutes ago. Now, you know what? You know, I understand from a health thing, but think about this. When someone comes to Christ, and they rededicate, or they come to Christ the first time, you know, we talk about how their life was changed. But you realize that, you know, when they come forward and they're standing right here, you know, a few seconds later, they look the same as they looked a few minutes before, but something happened. Yeah, but you didn't see it. It's not about what you see that matters. It's about what's happening on the inside. And it happens on the inside because you're doing something about it, because it's all about you. You know, it's about me too, but it's really about you. But it's about you understanding that you can do something about everything that you desire. And so, you know, the next time you're at home having your little pity party about what you don't have or how tough it is or, you know, or how nothing ever works out for you, then you need to change your mind. You need to change your ways. You need to change your desire. You know, because we can have whatever we say we have. Yes, amen. What do you want? You know, talk about what you want. You know, I understand your circumstances might not look good. But there's nothing about circumstances in Mark 11:24. It doesn't say your life will be based on your circumstances. It says your life will be based on your desire. And your prayers, and what you believe. Ultimately, it's about what you believe that God can do. Because God's the only one that can change anything. You can't do anything. And you understand, when you get a hold of the real meaning of the scripture, when you're weak, he's strong. And you understand, you know what, there's nothing you can do about it. And all you can do about it, you know, if is either cry and have a pity party or ask him to change it. And here's something else. Now, some of us, we inflict our own wounds because we put ourselves in a situation. And because we put ourselves in that situation, we feel that God won't get us out because he wants to punish us. You know, and sometimes it's a learned trait because maybe your dad did that to you. Or maybe your mom did that to you. But, you know, but God doesn't want to ever punish you. Even though that you're a mess, even though that you messed up, even though that what you did was awful, your God loves you so much that he wants you to understand on the inside, you know what, you're going to make it. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how much you messed up. What matters is I love you. And that I want to see you succeed. But you're never going to succeed unless you decide that you're going to do something about it. You're going to have to change your desire on the inside. What do you desire? What are you asking for? What are you praying for? What are you believing? Because whatever you're saying, whatever you're asking for, whatever you're believing, whatever you're desiring, that's what you're having. So if you're always talking about, you know what, every month it keeps getting tougher and tougher. I don't have any money. I can barely get by. It's getting tough. You know what? Every month it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. But if you decide, you know what, it doesn't matter what the economy is going about. No, the economy is actually doing pretty well, but I don't care if it's doing well or not doing well. It's not about the economy. Mark 11:24 doesn't say anything about the economy. It doesn't say if the economy is doing well. Actually, there's nothing in here about your job. It's, you know, if you make enough money in your job, doesn't say anything about making enough money in your job. It says about desiring. It says about asking. It says about believing. And it says about having. Nothing about making more money. See, people get mad at their employers. Well, if I just made more money. No, if you just trusted your God. I mean, who knows? If you trusted your God, you might be on Shark Tank next year, you know, with the next best thing ever. I mean, you guys, you realize one of the best product on Shark Tank, the most successful, is a little sponge with a little smiley face in it. The Scrub Daddy. The most successful product on Shark Tank. I mean, any of us idiots here could have invented the same thing. But the thing is, you didn't do it because you didn't desire to do it. My wife gets mad at me all the time. Why can't you invent that? I don't know. I mean, you know, I have a lot of free time. I should be going around inventing things. I mean, you know, but who knows? Man, it doesn't say to get a better job. It says to believe. See, we in our own life, we get dependent. In fact, sometimes one of the worst things that ever happened to you is one of your friends or one of your relatives could bless you with money, because every time you're in trouble, then you expect them to bless you with more money. And you expect, well, that's how God's going to work. Do you realize that God has 7 billion more people that he could use to bless you? He don't have to use the one you pick. You're like, yeah, but I don't know all of them. The Bible doesn't say anything about you have to know someone who's going to bless you. In fact, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you walk through the mall tomorrow and you see people you don't ever know and you sneeze in front of them, they'll probably bless you right there. They'll say, God bless you. And you didn't even know that you got a blessing from them right there. See, you don't have to know people for them to bless you. The Bible says to have a desire, to ask, to believe, and then to receive. But it says for you to do all that. I'm over time, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And Father God, help us to understand that we can have the desires of our heart. Help us to understand that whatever we desire, when we pray, that we can believe and we can have it. But help us to understand that you've done that for us. And it's so easy. It's not hard. Help us to understand all we have to do is act on the word of God. But Father God, we just thank you right now for a special blessing on each and every person that's here, each and every person that's watching us online, Father. We thank you that this message will ring in their ears whenever they need it, whenever they're going through a tough time. Help them to remember that they can just trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding and in all the ways that you'll direct their path. Father God, we just thank you for everything you're doing in their life, and we just pray a special blessing on them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. We have the connection team there in the aisle. They want to take you, and we got a special gift for you. And so just go with them, and we want to welcome you to Rhema. And every time, if you don't have a church home, we invite you to make this your church home. If you're visiting, we invite you to come here each and every time. The way we do things on Wednesday night, if you need prayer for anything, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, if you just need prayer, then we have some women and some men here to pray with you. Like we say, if you're a woman, you can speak to the women. If you're a man, go speak to the man. If you don't know what you are, that's okay. We have ushers that are there to help you discern which side to go. Amen. So, and don't forget mom and dad and the crusade team, be praying for dad especially, because you'll be praying for strength, and like I said, they have a crusade starting on Sunday. He'll be here Sunday morning. Amen. Well, turn around, shake hands with two or three people, and you're dismissed. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning.